We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. Welcome to March the 18th, 2016. The other day, I mentioned Jits Concrete as one of our sponsors. I did not give you their phone number that day, so let me give that out to you today just to make sure that you can get a hold of them. 536-5804, 536-5804. And today, we'd like to mention that Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical is helping us out with some of the expenses for today. Their phone number is 632-9538. Now, if you're a customer of Wyrick Air, please make sure that you have this number down. There's some people with an that have maybe some old stickers on your units or whatever, and so you need this new number, because if you call that old number, it will give you somebody other than this. So you need this number. And that is area code 321-632-9538. Anywhere in Brevard County, Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they will get you fixed up and in good working order. So I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day. And we've got two people that frequent our church that today is their birthday. And I was talking to one of them, and he said that March the 19th, I believe, is St. Joseph's Day. I didn't know that. And he described how, you know, that he was raised in a Catholic school, and the nuns who ran the school were part of the St. Joseph's Order. So they celebrated March the 19th every day. And he said, so it was like a really great week for me, St. Patrick's Day, my birthday, and then St. Joseph's Day. And so and you know what? If it's none of those things for you today, if it's not your birthday, or have a great day anyway. There's nothing that says that you can only have a great day on your birthday. Funny story, when I turned 21, I thought you could no longer have any fun. And so at my birthday, I was just sitting there and very solemn, very serious. And finally, you know, I was over at my grandmother's house, and they said, what's the matter? You're not having a good time at your party? And I said, well, I'm an adult now. I'm not supposed to have any fun. And that's that couldn't be further from the truth. Now, you need to have the right type of fun. You don't need to have the type of fun that's going to, you know, change your legal status, change your voting status. You don't want to change, you know, have the type of fun that it's going to ruin your marriage and ruin your health and all that sort of stuff. But there is so much joy that is available as a member of the body of Christ that you and I, we need to go around and we need to be having our countenance reflect the joy of the Lord more than anger and bitterness and hostility. So I hope that you are having a great day and that you are planning on being in the house of God this coming Sunday. If you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Come and be a part of what God is doing. And this coming Sunday morning, we will be preaching on spiritual warfare, our series on spiritual warfare again. I believe I'll be concluding that message this week. And then we've got a great message that God has laid upon my heart for Easter Sunday. We want you to come and be a part of that. We got a picnic afterwards. The kids are going to have various stations where they will hear the message of the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they'll walk away with candy, have the opportunity to search for things. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, that everything focusing around an egg hunt. I like it to focus around Jesus. We refer to it as Resurrection Day at Merritt Assembly of God. But the principle of learning to search and to seek after the things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. There is something about that seeking aspect that we need to develop. Prior to coming in and doing this program, I was in my office. We're doing 30 days of prayer right now. So my My days start pretty early. Prayer starts at 6 of a morning. And so hopefully you're joining us in praying and learning to develop your prayer life where it is sweet fellowship with God. That's what we really want it to be. We're not looking to add one more drudgery or one more task or one more assignment, but having a season of prayer, as some of the psalmists or hymn writers saying, the sweet hour of prayer is communing with friend with friend. That's what we're really looking for. And so I was trying to get ready to come in and do this broadcast, and I set something down, and I turned around, and I couldn't find it. And so that meant I had to, it was my Bible. It wasn't an insignificant thing. So my Bible had been in the sanctuary. That's where I'd started. So I went back and I looked at all of the places that I had been. I looked in my office. I looked in the conference room. I looked in the fellowship hall, looked in my office manager's office. I looked everywhere. And then I found it open on the top of my printer. And it was like, oh, there that is. And so then I started looking for my little organizer here, my notes, and I had them together before. I was looking for my Bible, and it's like, okay, now where is that? And I had to turn around and go through the process all over again, and it finally got to the point where I found some backup information that would have sufficed, printed off some new things that I couldn't find. And then I went downstairs and I found them, because when I was looking for my Bible, I had set those things down. And, you know, all of that searching, by the time I got done, I said, you know what? I think I need something to eat. I think I needed to feed myself so that my alertness would come, to focus. And you and I, the more that we seek him, we taste and see that the Lord is good. I believe it's going to have a beneficial aspect on us. It's going to focus us, going to cause us to think the way God wants us to think, to act the way that he wants us to act, to speak the way that he wants us to. And so it would behoove us to seek and find. Seek and keep on seeking. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. And so today I want to take you to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and it says there in verse number 13, we're talking about this covenant relationship, and we're going to move it into a different category next week. So verse number 13, it says, so they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup, listen to this, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So here Jesus, he sends them and he says, I want you to go and make the preparations. And when they went to make the preparations for the Passover feast, this time of fellowship that they were going to have as teacher and his disciples, they went and they found everything just like he said. You see, God never speaks from a hopeful perspective. He speaks from a confidence perspective. He knows what the reality is. He knows the reality of your life, the reality of my life. He knows the reality of what tomorrow holds for you. He knows what next year holds for you. And so when he tells us as his children to go and do something, we are going to find that he is already aware of what awaits us on our journey. He knows what we're going to find. When Andrew went and found Bartholomew, he found him, or Nathaniel, I'm sorry, underneath the tree. He said, I saw you while you were under the tree. Nathaniel, yeah. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. So Jesus knows where we're at. He knows what the circumstances of our life. So why would we want to try and hide it from him? And so when you have been given a direction from God, please understand you are going to find that he is not only in control of right now, he's in control of what is waiting you. And went through forgiveness and repentance, we allow him to be Lord and in control even over our failures. Okay, he forgives us. And so it's a great aspect. And verse number 14 says, when the hour had come, he sat down on the 12 apostles with him. So there is a timing factor with God. This Passover feast, it was celebrated in a very structured manner. It wasn't just a haphazard thing. Well, you know, when everybody gets here, that's when we'll start. I've heard of some civilizations where if a person says that they're going to be there and they're supposed to do something, that they will not move forward. They will just stay in position, even though that person may never show up. The entire congregation of people is held up because this one person overcommitted verbally. And, you know, God has a time. There's an appointed time. We've talked about some of those. You know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they knew not the hour of their visitation, that God had come and they had missed it. I never want to miss those opportunities. And so we need to be sensitive when God speaks as far as timing. There are times in the scriptures where there are battles that take place and there's defeat because the timing was off. I do think of a positive example where David is positioned for battle, but God says this: do not go forward until you hear the sound of the rushing wind in the tree branches. And so stay in position, and when you hear the wind begin to blow, know that God has said this is the time. He can use specific timing to break a period of drought and hunger. You know, where if a person had said, like the government official, he said, that what you have just said could not come to pass, even if God opened the floodgates of heaven. And Elisha said, you will see it, but you will not get to participate in it. When God said that the children of Israel would be in captivity for 7 years, and Daniel began to read Jeremiah's prophecy, and he was greatly encouraged. He knew at that point in time that there was a time of deliverance that was coming. And there is an appointed time that when we look at these celebrations, these religious festivals, and, you know, that same person I was telling you about earlier, they said to me, Pastor, did you know that Resurrection Sunday has fallen on Easter this year? I said, yeah, it tends to happen that way. And I know that there's a method in which those celebrations are calculated. I don't really take the time to ascertain, you know, the formula that they're going to use and all of that. I just quite simply look on the calendar and say, we get to celebrate the resurrection again on this day, and the whole of society is going to celebrate it. You see, because for Christians, every day we celebrate his birth. Every day we celebrate his resurrection. Every day has the potential of being the day of Pentecost. And so we are thankful for that. But there is also a day that he is going to come and he is going to return. And I know this, there's an appointed time for that. And so we need to realize that. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. We live in such a fast-paced society, a very frenzied society. I'm guilty of it myself. And, you know, sometimes we need to avail ourselves of the Mary aspect. There are people who want to either be Martha or they want to be Mary, and I want you to know there's a time to be both. There is a time to serve and there is a time to sit. And everybody needs that opportunity of just sitting. A Sabbath rest is beneficial to all of us. And so don't burn the candles in three different places. It used to be if you burn the candle at both ends, that was the definition of busy. But now with all of the conveniences and the processing speed and all of that, that we can take advantage of that convenience. But what we have done is we have demanded that we be even more productive than we've ever been before. And so I remember when I was in high school and I had to write my term paper. It was a 10-page term paper. Mine ended up being longer. And you had to have all of your bibliographies and all of that. And it had to be typed. It could not be handwritten. And the only typewriter we had at our house was a 1939 Underwood typewriter. And so for my entire Christmas break, I didn't say I was a fast typer. I can type. I'm missing a finger, so I have to be a little more creative. My sister is lightning on a typewriter. She's a legal secretary. She's types like 90 to 100 words a minute or more. I don't even know how many words she types. But, I mean, it's like smoke comes off the keyboard when she's flying. But I was typing my own, and it took me the nearly 2 weeks of Christmas break to type, because it wasn't an electric typewriter. You had to really push the buttons down, and you couldn't make mistakes back then, although they did have a few little things that you could use to white out and stuff like that, but it never really looked as good. So you wanted your final draft, and so you would take extra special care. And now, you know, you can type on the computer and it doesn't take you any length of time at all. In fact, sometimes the keyboards are so sensitive that you can get multiple characters when you only wanted one. But all you got to do to correct it is backspace. You can respace it. You can format it. You can increase the size of the font. You can do all of these amazing things. And so what do? We take that and say, okay, well, look at what I did with all of that time, and now I can cram so much more in there. Let's remember to take time to sit with Jesus. It was an opportunity it was never going to be the same after this. It's true that they were going to have other encounters with him after the resurrection, but this is one of their last hours before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I was watching Christian television about a week or so ago, and I saw a very, very high-profile minister, very, very well-known, an author. He described that up until a health crisis that he had, you could see his testimony on television. It wasn't a private broadcast or anything like that. It was broadcast over, you know, Christian television, Daystar Network. But it was this gentleman said, my work schedule, he said, I was out there preaching that this year was going to be a Sabbath rest for God's people, that God was going to bring us into a place of supernatural rest and supernatural favor. And he said, and what I was doing was I was working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I positioned myself where I was violating a principle of God's word. And so I ended up in such a capacity that all I could do was spend time with the Lord. And I pray that none of us, I pray that for myself, I'm preaching to myself today as well, that we don't position ourselves with such a full schedule that we don't take advantage of the opportunity to fellowship with Jesus. You know, I don't know what it's like at your house, but a lot of times we feel like we've got to be doing something. But when's the last time you just sat down? And I'm going to make it practical as well. When was the last time you just had a sit down and have a cup of water, or a glass of water with your spouse? Or here's one for you. When was the last time you just hung out with your kids? Not that you were doing anything super spiritual or anything. You were just loving on them. You see, Jesus said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Whenever we have fellowship or communion with God, you will find this. It was in the heart of God before it was in our heart. God will never tell you no. You say, God, can I be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? I mean, think about it. John, in Revelation, he's on the Isle of Patmos, a barren rock. He's been sent there with one task, to die by himself. He's sent there isolated so that he will no longer influence any more people in Roman civilization. He's been sent there, John, just hurry up and die. But Revelation chapter 1 says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And you know what happened? John received revelation from heaven that is still edifying and encouraging the body of Christ since that time. You will not have to be at church very, very many times, wherever you're at, before you will hear a sermon on the seven churches in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. You won't have to be in a church too long till you hear about the second return of Christ. You won't have to be there too long before you hear, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice. If you hear a message about the end times, you're more than likely going to get a reference to what John received because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. If that is the case, what could we possibly gain from sitting with Jesus and having fellowship with him? Let me rephrase it. Let me make it a negative here. What do we stand to lose if we don't? What do we stand to lose? What is the enemy trying to steal from us because he keeps us occupied with busyness? It can be good busyness, bad busyness. It doesn't matter what type of busyness it is. If it is depriving us of spending time, our first priority, do you realize that the highest priority that the apostles had was this, that they would be with Jesus? It is the utmost priority. There's nothing going to take precedence over that. And it is same for you and I. We don't need to be so busy working for God that we fail to spend time with God. And Jesus doesn't say that his desire is just kind of a fleeting thing. He said it is a fervent desire. It is something that is boiling inside of him, driving him. He said, look, the reason that you found things the way that I said is because I have been preparing for this moment. Okay? So, the next time your church has communion, I want to ask you to give this some consideration. Do you even know who prepared the elements? Now, if you go to a mega church, it may be something as simple as they take the prepackaged communion cups and the wafers. And, you know, I understand that, crowds of thousands demand different dynamics. And so a lot of times they'll just take boxes and they'll put them in buckets and they'll pass them down the aisle. But somebody had to do some preparation for that. Somebody had to create the concept. Somebody had to put the production. Someone else had to put in the advertising. Somebody had to put in the purchase order. Somebody had to ship it. There was all sorts of preparation that went into that. And so I want you to look and say, You know, I wonder who prepared the communion elements. I wonder who prepared the bread. And it, if you don't know, why don't you ask? And why don't you surprise them and go up and say, thank you. Thank you for making this preparation for us that we could celebrate all that God has done. You will probably make their day. They probably will not be able to remember the last time somebody said thank you because somebody came in early, somebody stayed late to clean up. It's kind of an unknown person's ministry in the church because nobody really knows who does it because they do it before people get there and they clean up after it after they're gone. But Jesus said that because of his fervent desire, he made the preparations for us. And that reminds me of John chapter 14, that even right now, Jesus is making preparation, not to celebrate communion that we find here as it pertains to Passover, but he's preparing a place for you and I that where he is, there we may be also. And that means forever. You know, as we're looking at this Passion Week and the miracles that Jesus has done for us, let's not forget that he's at work in our eternity. He's after our forever. He's not after your heart for a day. He's after your heart for all of eternity. I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel pretty special. Do you realize that you will never have a person wealthier, wiser? You will never find a person with more influence or more royal than Jesus. And you are his choice that he wants to spend forever with you. Now tell me, are you going to accept that offer or are you going to reject it? Because as for me and my house, we want a fellowship with the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you today that you loved us so much that you sent us your son. Jesus, I want to thank you that you came. You did the work that is necessary, but you did it so that we could have fellowship with you, that we could be reconciled to you. And God, I pray that over the next week that we would not be so busy that we fail to spend time with you. May we avail ourselves of your presence, of your wisdom, of your people. God, be Lord over our time this week in Jesus' name. God bless you. You have a great Palm Sunday. We'll see you either Sunday or right here Monday on Refresh Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?